smile.
All right, praise God. I think I need that water. Yep. Thank you. Okay, a little bit of unscripted mess here. Ah, praise God. Love being able to sing God's praises. But I use my voice up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for another opportunity. Settings a little different again today, but you are still with us, and you're with us wherever we are, and we still give you glory, and your word is still your word. And just open our hearts as we open it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, praise God. Most of us, I would imagine, maybe can think of a few things that we've done right. Maybe, we've been conscientious workers, or we've provided for our loved ones. We've done what was expected of us. Maybe we've served the church. Maybe we've given to those in need. All good and wonderful things. And we may not feel comfortable talking about those things much, or maybe we shouldn't. There are times when it's okay, when it's warranted, when it's a practical necessity to explain what we're doing and why we're doing it, or as a teaching opportunity as we're leading those who follow, who come behind us. Hopefully we all have that opportunity to be a discipler as well as a disciple. But there are also times when it isn't, when what we're doing is trying to glorify ourselves or maybe shame others. But we're also all very aware by this stage in our lives, I imagine, of what we've done wrong. Usually we're not so vocal about that. We keep that kind of quiet. It's not something we really want anybody else to know. But there is value. Not that you have to go around. Some churches do some pretty wild stuff. Everybody having to go around. My wife was in one where everybody was required to confess their sin openly in the process of the service. Go one by one, and don't know that that's necessarily what was in mind there, but it is good to be accountable to one another. But none of us can say there's nothing. I have never done anything wrong. And that's really kind of where we're picking up today in our study. Paul has established that in these first three chapters that we're all under judgment. Those who know the truth as well as those who do not. And the law is there to expose sin for what it is. But then, last week, we talked a little bit more about the good news, that Jesus paid the ultimate price to set us free. And it's by faith that we receive what he offers. So we're kind of a... I don't want to say a wrap-up, because he's going to go in and explain some more, but as we progress through the book, he's going to take the things that he's touched on in these first three chapters and expand them out and get deeper, successively deeper as he talked through these things. It's going to be short today. I know that just, you know, yeah, okay. Let's go ahead and read the passage for today, which is in chapter 3, the last few verses of chapter 3, starting in verse 27. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since indeed God will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith is one. Do we then abolish the law through faith? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. So we start this particular passage on verse 27, where he says, where then is boasting? Who's got anything to attribute to themselves, to brag about? And he basically says, it's got nothing to do with you. The works don't redeem us or give us any value. You're not more precious to God because of what you do or don't do. Works are good. God created works for us to do. But apart from faith, they can't save us. We can be just as good as anyone else that ever walked the earth except Jesus himself. But that's not enough. Our boasting about how many good things we've done is empty. But he says, no, that's not how it happens. It happens by a law of faith. And I found that phrasing interesting. And we've already said, you know, there's no room for boasting because we didn't do anything to earn it. Faith itself, in fact, is possible only because he makes it so. Only because he prompts us and convicts us through the Holy Spirit and gives us the ability to have it. But I was struck by the construction there, a law of faith. And we're not talking anymore at this point about laws that direct behavior, but rather about laws that simply are. Spiritual laws work just because that's the way things work, just the same way that physical laws do. If we go outside and trip over the steps and fall, gravity works regardless to who we are. So it is with spiritual laws. They work. They work even when you don't even understand necessarily that you're using them. You know, a baby and a physicist walk off the same cliff, they're going to fall the same way. One of them might understand why, but it doesn't matter. The law still works. But the implication of that is, if we think of faith that way, that if faith is a law of that nature, then we can expect certain things to follow from faith in God. Now, what are those things? I want to be careful here because I don't want to imply, as so many have, that if you just believe hard enough, you can have whatever you want. Now, I'm gonna put it a different way. If you believe hard enough, you can have whatever he wants. But because it's still constrained by by his will and his nature. But nevertheless, we can expect certain things to be true. We can trust that what he said is going to happen. And out of that faith, we can believe certain things with absolute certainty. When you put your faith in Jesus, when you put your trust in Jesus, there are a lot of things I can't tell you for sure, but I can tell you this. Your eternity is assured. Your salvation is assured. Now, you may struggle and you may fight and you may have bad days, but if you truly gave your life to him, if you truly put your trust in him, that faith works. You can't break it. You can't undo gravity. You know, when a jet, when an airplane flies or a rocket takes off, it's not violating the law of gravity. It's producing enough force to counteract it. Well, guess what? Spiritual laws don't work that way. You can't do that. God's laws can't be overcome by any of man's efforts. And when you put your trust in Jesus, you really can put your trust in Jesus. And he says that is the means of our justification. It's totally apart from keeping the law. Now, keeping the law matters, but only in the context of faith. One may have faith without knowing the law. Conversely, one may keep the law and not actually have any faith. But it was always about faith. Paul's going to expand on this. We're going to talk about Abraham in the next chapter. But it was always that way. Believe God. Abraham, it says, Abraham believed God. It was reckoned to him as righteousness. Then he goes on, and you know, he is wrapping up basically this argument of Jew and Gentile being under the same judgment, being also under the same salvation by the same God. He has been revealed through the Jews, but he isn't a God like those of the pagans that were around them. In Israel's day, in the days of ancient Israel, each region had their own patron god, if you will, their own little set that they worshipped. They had a main god and at least a consort, because you know all these pagan gods had to have a consort because they, you know, they're basically made in man's image, so that's where you go. But in that context, Yahweh was just one more god. And he was specific to the Israelites, and that's how a lot of people thought of him. He was no more or less powerful than any other god. But they had that's not a very good image of the one true God. And the Greeks and the Romans had a whole set of different gods that they believed in. And you know, Paul makes a point here that no, there's only one. And he is the God of everybody, whether you're a Greek, whether you're a Jew. You've got to answer to one God. Now, they might have, as even some practitioners of other religions will today that are pantheistic in nature, they might be tempted just to tack Jesus on as one more. But no, he is the only one. He said, nobody comes to the Father except through me. And he justifies all by the same faith. Now, there's something else here then depending on your translations, most of them will read, he justifies the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. And the question arises, is something being communicated by using the different prepositions there? Is faith somehow working differently between these two groups? And the considered answer is no. I have not, there may be other arguments on that, but faith is faith. And it works the same. He's just spent a lot of time explaining how it's the same faith for everybody. Jesus is the objective of that faith. The Amplified Bible, one of the things you can do, and I know I've shared this before, one of the things you can do, you can go to a site like Bible Gateway, and you can put a verse in, and you can say, show me this in all translations. And it'll then list out for you every single translation that they have. And there's, quite a few, maybe 20 different translations of just in English of the different ways, and most of them will be more or less the same. But I like this out of the Amplified Bible. If you read verse 30 out of the Amplified Bible, it might help understand a little bit what Paul is trying to say here. What the Amplified Bible does is it adds extra words to explain in different ways what's being said. So it says, since indeed it is one and the same God who justifies the circumcised by faith, which began with Abraham, and the uncircumcised through their newly acquired faith. So that might help understand it. And I'd like, too, the way that a translation called the Complete Jewish Bible puts it, which was written to people who are of Jewish heritage today, who can appreciate the nuances here. But I like the way this reads. It says, because, as you will admit, God is one. Therefore, he will consider righteous the circumcised on the grounds of trusting and the uncircumcised through that same trusting. That's another word that we might use in place. Faith has gotten some weird connotations sometimes in the way that we talk about it. But all it is really in this case is trusting. We're trusting the Lord. We're trusting Jesus. We're trusting that what he said about who he is and what he's done for us is true. And then we're acting like we trust him. And so we say, okay, does that mean if now it's by faith and not by keeping all these rules, have we nullified the law? He says, nope, no way. And Jesus himself said that he came to fulfill the law. It's the law that shows us our sin. And so, by faith in Jesus, we confirm what the law says and recognize that we needed Jesus to fix it. As we go through this, I always try to bring it home for us in some form of application that we can take out the door beyond the just understanding what the text says. And I know that many of us, going back to verse 27, there are many people who have something that they could probably, a few things they could probably brag about. I mean, I know some people that, I know some people in this room that, they might have some things that they could say that are pretty great, because they're pretty great people and they do some pretty great things. And I'm honored to be a part of this church because of what they do. Living devoted to helping others, always giving, even sacrificially, always in church, knowing the word, People who do these things often exhibit humility because it comes out of a real faith. They know that God gives them the ability to do what they do. But yet, all of these are external expressions of an internal faith if they're going to mean anything. And it's that faith that justifies us, not all the good things that we might be doing. And if we boast in our awesome God. Because He's the one. He's the one who saved us. He's the one who gave us what we have. He's the one who allows us to do what we do. And we might be tempted to think that somehow we earned it. Oh, well, we read our Bible every day. We pay our tithes. We do the things that are expected of us. We do our share of good works. But we should remember a story that Jesus told of the, and you probably remember it, it's Luke chapter 18, of a Pharisee and a tax collector. And the Pharisee was praying and listing all the good stuff that made him so great. And how it made him better than this other old sinner standing over here. But the tax collector simply said, "Be gracious to be merciful to me, a sinner." And you know what Jesus said? He's the one that went away justified. He's the one who got exempted, if you'll pardon the bad pun. Because he understood he needed to be saved. There is one God and one faith in Jesus. And the world will tell you that anything or nothing is okay, whatever you want to believe. And we do sort of have to live like that in terms of accepting that other people don't agree with us and live at peace with one another. But you know, that doesn't change what's true. And we should not be in a position of saying, well, whatever's true for you is true for you. No, that's not true. Now, I don't mean I don't have to dislike you. I don't have to be at odds with you. I don't have to fight you. But I'm not going to tell you that it's true if it's not true. There is one God, and there is only one way to Him, and that way is Jesus. Oh, please, wherever you are today, trust in Jesus, and He will do the rest. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us most of all yourself, but then that you gave us your holy word to teach us. And to allow us to know that that happened. And as we dig and we study and even things that are being found today in the area where all of these things happen, over and over again, your word is confirmed. This is the truth. So thank you, Lord, that you have made it available to us, that you've given it to us, that you've preserved it through the ages as you promised that you would. And we look forward, Lord, to seeing the final, looking for the right word. I was about to say something stupid. Looking for the day. Let's put it this way. We are looking for the day when you come back and when you set things right and we will all be together with you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.
Thank you for loving us.
Amen. But we do still need to take our prayer request, though.